truly are, I believe, I think I'm right about this, we truly are what a lot of people would call an evangelistic church. We really are about, we're about our community, we're about reaching the lost, we're about reaching the broken. That is our primary focus. We are, I really feel like as a church, we are focused on others, not so much ourselves. Would you agree with that? That's kind of where our, that's the direction of our ministries. They're all kind of that way. And so, you know, we're focused on the Great Commission, not so much great, facilities and that kind of thing. And I like that. And I think you like that as well. But my messages then tend to always, you know, there's always a pretty common bulk of a message then is going to be designed toward that. The tone is going to be about reaching out and reaching our community and those kind of things. Although I try to teach and try to be balanced, but there's always going to be that, trying to reach the broken and the lost of our community. But today is a little different. Today I just want to speak with you about you. And when I say that, I mean you and me. I'm talking about us, just our church family, our church body. Before I do, please allow me to address something that, this is the title of my message, I'll get to that here in a little while, but let me address something. A couple of years ago, I made a statement that I think a lot of people understood the statement and understood my meaning, but there were some that misunderstood what I was saying and kind of mistook it, misinterpreted it, and honestly didn't care for it. And the statement that I made, I was really speaking about where our focus needs to be trying to reach, and I was talking primarily to those of you and those who are in our church. You know Jesus so well, you know your Bible so well, you walk with God, you've got a ticket to heaven, you know it, you never doubt it, you understand the deep concepts of church. And what I said was, and I made this statement, and honestly there were some who were hurt by it, and I apologize for that because it wasn't my intention, but I made the statement, you can't be my focus. Now, how many of you remember me saying that? Okay. And so, the point that I was trying to make was that we can only really focus, I kind of touched on this at the beginning of the year, we can only focus on one thing. You can only, when you're looking at something, if I'm going to look at Jeff Cook, now I'm going to find a better example. man, it's kind of tough in here. But if I'm going to focus on Jeff, you know, I can see Tony, but I just see Tony in the periphery. Tony is still very important to me. I love Tony. Tony and I are very dear friends, and we're very, very close. But if I'm going to focus on Jeff, Tony is in the periphery. He's still important, but he's not my focus. And so when I said that you cannot be my focus, what I was saying was, as a church and as a pastor, we can't just be all about ourselves. We can't make it about us. We can't make the building about us. We can't make the music about us. We can't have everything we want. Does that make sense? You know, I think, okay, as an example, I think there are some of us, you know, okay, let me shift gears a little bit. So on Tuesday mornings with Vintage Bible Study, that is actually something that is really about us. I mean, we have whatever we want. We sing whatever we want and all that, because it's not really designed to be an outreach to the entire general population. And so that was the point I was trying to make. And so there were some, though, that thought that what I was saying was that you all aren't important to me. There were a few that thought that what I was saying was, you're not as important as the lost person out here. And that's not the case at all. Just because we don't focus on something doesn't mean it's not important. And so I want to correct that today, and I want to be very clear today. I want to tell you why I do things kind of like that statement. So, you know, let me say secondly, I don't try to show you that I love you by preaching messages that you like or that you want to hear. I'm not trying to show you I love you that way. Would I love to sit here and just preach messages that the core of the church wants to shout amen to and love and all that, and we all go away feeling great? Yeah, that would be kind of nice, and honestly, it would make my life a lot easier. It would. But that's not how I'm trying to show you that I love you. I try to show you that I love you rather in what I do from Monday to Saturday. Like, I'm just being real transparent with you today. See, I try to show you that I love you by praying for you, by being at the hospital with you, by taking your phone calls and talking through. I got a phone call at almost midnight last night from somebody that was hurting. And look, and my phone's on 24 hours a day. When somebody asks me for time, I give them my time. Now, I don't mind that. I don't mind being super busy, but that's how I'm trying to show you I love you, not by preaching and saying the things that everybody wants to hear. And so having said that, I also try to show you that I love you by working harder and longer than I think most people would. And I give you my word. I promise you that is what I'm trying to do. I try to show you that I love you by valuing your opinion by sending out a survey. Are you kind of following what I mean? Please don't think this. It's not about me today, okay? But I'm being honest with you. I want you to know where I'm coming from. I want you to know why I focus, why I'm talking so much about the lost, why I'm talking so much about that. Because if we make this about us, if we fall into the trap that, frankly, I have been in so much of my life and that I think so many churches fall into, if we make it all about us and about how we feel and all that, then we are completely ignoring the reason that Jesus said he came. Amen. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. Amen. And he backed that up with all of his parables. Think about all of his parables, the lost coin, the lost sheep, all those things, all those stories that we read about Jesus. He was telling us, this is what's important to me. You know, I care about you. Look, do you think that Jesus cares about Christians who have been saved their whole life? You think Jesus cares about Beverly? Yeah. I mean, Beverly's been serving God her whole life, you know, all those years. She's doing all those things. She's doing the path. Do you think that Jesus just kind of looks at her and says, oh, I'm really more interested in them? No, of course not. Jesus loves her just as much. But he said, but what I really need you to focus on, the people out there. I need you to focus on the world around you. I need you to focus on the people who don't know me and don't have, you know, home in heaven and so on. So please don't think that I don't care for you. In fact, the reason that I made that statement a couple of years ago that got misinterpreted, actually, it is because I care so much about you. It's because I care about not so much your today, I care about your tomorrow. See, I care about Sue. And I care about what she's going through today. And I Sue knows, and anybody else here knows, if Sue needs me today, I'll be there today. Now, I'll never forget, I went down with Sue and John when they had to put their dog to sleep. You know why? Because that was a terrible, terrible ordeal for them. And they wanted their pastor there with them, and I was glad to go, and I was honored to go and be with them. And I would do that for anybody. But I care so much more about Sue's future than I do her today. And so I'm telling you my agenda today. I'm giving you what my agenda is where you're concerned. So allow me to show you why I believe that. I'm trying to follow the scriptural admonition about what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 14. So let me show it to you. Here's what the Apostle Paul said to the church. He said, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me. Now, like, time out. Let me just say, as you watch, if you're gonna watch the news, I encourage you not to, but if you're going to and you see all this terrible stuff going on, you see all these idiots that get on the news all the time, and I mean idiots on both sides of the aisle, and I mean people who are just playing, you know, look, all that stuff. As you look at that and it makes you mad, would you just remember that there's going to come a day where every knee will bow to Jesus Christ? Amen. They're not going to get a say-so. Right now you get to choose. See, right now we get to choose whether or not to bow our knees. Or have our knees just buckle on us, either way. But there's going to come a day where there's not going to be a choice. So every knee will bow to him, and every tongue will confess to God. But now watch, here's what I live with every day as I think about you, and what I'm trying to do here. I realize that every one of us one day are going to stand before Jesus, and look at those three words that I've highlighted, give an account of himself to God. See, when I think about Ann, I think about Ann is going to, I care about what's going on with Ann. I hate that she has to live at the nursing home today. I hate that. She's great. She has a good attitude. I hate that because, I know that's so much harder than living in your own home. But honestly, I'm far more concerned about what's going to happen when she stands before Jesus than I am what happens to her today when she goes back to her room. I care about what she's going to have to say. I care about what you're going to have to say. I care about what you're going to say, Laura. And I want to do everything I can as your pastor to help you to have something to say that's good. See, I want your time standing before Jesus. We're talking about here something that the Bible refers to as the judgment seat of Christ. Now, when we stand, and please, let me just kind of tell you real quick, let me give you a real quick Bible lesson here, take 30 seconds. Here's what's going to happen in our future, folks. According to Scripture, we are living in something called the church age. This age is going to end, and this life as we know it in these bodies is going to end when God tells his son, Jesus, go get your bride. He is going to come and he's going to meet us in the cloud. We're going to be lifted off this earth in something called we call the rapture. Okay, if you're still alive, your body's going to change. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Hallelujah. No more bad knees, no more bad, you know, joints and all that kind of stuff. This body's going to change, and if you're not alive at that time, you'll be resurrected. You'll be with Jesus. One way or the other, we're going to meet Jesus in the air. We're going to go back to heaven with him. On this earth is going to take place all the stuff that you see in the movies that has anything to do with Armageddon. Okay, the term Armageddon, the term hell on earth, the term tribulation, all these things that we read about and hear about that are horrible, you will not be here if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. You won't be. He's taking you out of here. You don't have to go through what's going to happen on this earth. That is not a part of your future if you've trusted Jesus Christ. Now, may I say, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, oh my goodness, please, please, please do so before it's too late. Because if not, you will be down here when this world becomes a horrible, horrible. You think the world is bad now? Take the worst scenario somewhere. Take the worst scenario for a woman over in the Middle East in one of these countries that treat them like, you know, throw acid on them and all that kind of stuff. You multiply that by 100, the whole world is going to be like that. So trust Jesus while you can. But the point is, we're going to be out of here. Now, while all that's going on down here, this is what we're going to be doing. This is what you and I are going to be doing. We're going to be standing before Jesus and we're going to give an account of ourselves. That's a little scary, isn't it? It makes us a little uncomfortable. Please know, it's not going to be a horrible time, but it is going to be a day of reckoning. It's going to be a day of reckoning where Jesus is going to ask us to give an account of what we did here. Now, here's my question for you, and here's the point of why I'm bringing this up. What do you think Jesus is going to care about? What is he going to ask us to give an account of? What do you think he's not going to have? I've heard all the stories, you know, where we're going to have to watch this video of our whole lives. Well, first of all, heaven is a perfect, beautiful place. I know for a fact Jesus is not going to show a video of everything I've ever done because that'll ruin it. That'll ruin it. Everybody be going, okay, didn't want to see that. Look, that's not the way it's going to be. He's going to ask us to give an account of something. Now, what do you think he's going to give us an account? He's going to ask us to give an account of? Well, according to the Bible, it's what he said to us just before he went back to heaven. When an authority, okay, what happens when your boss is getting ready to leave town for a couple days? They come to you, you know, your boss is going to leave town for a couple days and says, look, here's what I want you to do while I'm gone. While I'm gone, and by the way, Jesus said this in a parable. He told a parable about a business owner who brought his employees in, and he said, look, I'm going to be gone for a while. While I'm gone, here's what I want you to do. Now, what do you think that business owner is going to ask of that employee to make an account of? Is he going to come back into town? Is your boss going to come back into town after a couple days being out of town on business and say, hey, who kept the Coke machine filled? Did anybody do that? Who cleaned the bathrooms? No, he's going to want to know, did you do what he said you are supposed to do right before he left? Yes? Are you with me? Yeah. So can I show you what Jesus said right before he left and went back to heaven? Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Here's what he said. He said, you're going to receive power. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And you are to be witnesses of me. Witnesses of me. Not social change, not all that. There's some important stuff out there. But he said, I want you to tell people about, say it with me, me. Jesus said, I want you to tell people about me, and I want you to tell them everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth, all inclusive. So watch. So when we get to heaven and we stand before Jesus to give an account, what do you think he's going to ask us to give an account of? Did we do this? Did we do all we could to reach the people in our community, the people that he put into our lives, and tell them about what? Tell them about him. Tell them about him. So that's what he's going to give us an account of. Jesus, he wants us to know, look, he's not going to say, how much Bible did you memorize, Dan? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Quote some verses for me. Is he going to do that? No. Is he going to say, hey, did you sing the right songs? Kelly, did you sing the right songs? He's not going to do that. He's going to say, did you do what I told you to do right before I left? This is what we're going to have to give an account of. And so this is why I preach about this all the time. This is why I'm trying to bring a new angle to it all. This is why when I teach, look, I'm supposed to teach the Bible, yes? I am supposed to do that. I am the pastor. I'm supposed to do that. But when I teach the Bible, I don't want to just teach the Bible. I want to teach the Bible in a way that it makes sense and it's something you can take out into the community around you. Amen. And, you know, again, there are just some things you don't, you know, there's a lot of great stuff to learn in the Bible. I have done series on the tabernacle in the Old Testament. I've done series on David. I've done series on the judges, you know, all these things in the past. I spent a whole year on a Wednesday night just teaching the Bible all the way through chronologically, called Common Thread. I am all for teaching all through the Bible, but when we do that, there's always got to be a component that brings whatever story we're looking at, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, that brings it into modern day application where it's something that you can take out and answer a question of your neighbor, of your nephew, of your friend, of your grandkids. This is what we're trying to do here. This is what we need to do. And this is part of my agenda then, is to try to make it very practical in that way. And so I wanted you to see that for this reason, we're all going to stand and give an account. And now please watch. And again, I warned you, I'm going to speak very personally today. But after Jesus is done with all of us giving an account for our lives, I have to stay. Because he's going to deal with me with a different accounting. In the book of Hebrews, he tells us about it. And not just me, but other leaders. Here's what he said in the book of Hebrews. Verse 13, he said, now he's talking to the church here, and he says, obey them that have the authority over you, talking about spiritual authorities and, you know, pastors and deacons and that kind of stuff. He said, and submit yourselves. Here's why. He said, for they must watch for your souls. As they that will give an account. My church. I'm just talking to my church. This is what weighs on me every day. Every day, every day, the heaviest weight that I carry is this verse right here. Because I'm going to stand and I'm going to give an account for what I taught you. For whether or not I taught you what Jesus thought was important. For whether or not I encouraged you and helped you. And I'll be honest with you, I have no idea if I'm doing a good job. I have no idea if I'm doing it properly. I have no idea if you're reaching the people in your life. I have no idea if you're taking what is taught here out to the community. And I'm trying to figure that out because this weighs on me every single day. This is why I call some of you and text some of you and email some of you and try to get you back to church because honestly, I'm going to give an account for whether or not you're growing in the Lord. I'm going to be held responsible for that. Now, you're primarily responsible. You get that, right? Don't sit there and say, cool, I thought it was about me. No. You're not off the hook. You're still primarily responsible. But so am I. So am I. And he said that they may do it with joy and not with grief. I look to the day when we're all going to stand before Jesus and I want it to be a joyous time. I want Jesus to look down at you and say, Laura, it wasn't all the scripture you learned. It wasn't all the Bible you memorized. It wasn't how you always dressed like a lady and you were always gracious. It was about all those times you went out and visited somebody. Well done. Well done. You know, I want God to look at you, Paul, and I want him to say, look, it wasn't about, you know, the music. It wasn't about how good you were on the piano or how good you were on the guitars. It wasn't about all that. It was about the fact that you stepped out in faith and you tried to start something that was different, something that was designed to reach the community around you. That's what he's going to, I want to hear him say to you, well done. I'm so pleased with you. You know, I want him to see some of our young people, you know, Rihanna and some of our younger folks here, and Nick, and I want him to look at them and say, you know, early on, you know, you found me and you did what you could. You did what you could to reach the community around you. That's gonna be a time of joy. So, and not of grief. So now watch. I'm willing to have some grief now by saying some things that may not like, so that it can all be joy later. Thank you, Tony. You get this, don't you? Thank you, Nick. But can it be both? Can it be joyous now as well as then? This is what we need to try to figure out, is how it can be both. Now, having said that then, may I share my agenda with you as to how I want to lead and teach and guide and all those things that we talk about. So I go to the book of Ephesians, as I'm just going to share some verses with you. This is my agenda. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11. So Paul is talking to the church and he said, like, I want you to know why some of these people have come into your life. He gave some apostles. Now, let me just say, the apostles are all gone. John was the last apostle. You might go to a church sometime. You might hear somebody say, "Yeah, I'm the apostle so and so." Yeah, that's not really correct, because the apostleship died with John. The apostles were, according to Scripture, people that had seen the resurrected Savior, and they were empowered to do some miracles and some things like that. John was the last one, and when he died on the Isle of Patmos, that was it for those. And he gave some prophets, and that's a different issue. We won't even go there. It's mostly that. And some evangelists. Evangelists are people like Billy Graham. Okay, Billy Graham was an evangelist, a great one. You know, there are some pastors who retire, become evangelists. It just means somebody who goes around, not necessarily connected to any one particular church, but they go around, Paul was an evangelist, you know, and they go around, they preach. Now, here's where it gets down to us. He said, and some pastors and teachers. Now, that's several people in this room, not just me, okay? If you're a teacher of any kind, look, if you teach, if you're leading a group or you're doing something like that, this is who we're talking about. But I'm just sharing with you my agenda as a pastor, as a teacher here. Watch verse 12. Here's why. Here's why he gave the church people to do this, to equip the saints to look good. To equip the saints to, you know, to come and pat each other on the back and feel great about what we're doing. And let's talk about the prophetic, look, I hear some of you in the survey, many of you have asked to have some teaching on prophecy. I'm fine with that. I'll be glad to teach you about prophecy. No problem at all. I'll be glad to do that with you. But you like that, Julie? Okay. You haven't. Okay. See, I don't know who does. I don't see names. But I, you know, I'm glad to give that to you. But that's not what he said. He said to equip the saints for the what? What's the W word? Work. The work of ministry. The work of ministry. Folks, ministry is work. Ministry is work, isn't it, Kim? Isn't it, Ken? Isn't it, you know, you all that are involved in that, you know, work, the work of ministry is changing diapers in our nursery. That's work. That's not work for me. I'm not gifted in that area, so I stay out of it. That's not one of my spiritual gifts, and I recognize that, you know, and it's hard to admit, but, you know, Tim, it's hard for me to admit, but changing diapers is not one of my spiritual gifts, and so I'm going to leave that with the people that are good at it. You know what I mean? You're with me, right? Yeah. I'm not going to do that. Look, but it's work. It's work. Working with kids is work. Look, greeting is work. Do you like Hirsch greeting you at the door down here every time you walk in the door? Yes. Do you know he stands out in the cold? Yes. All through the winter. He's out there all morning. All morning in the shade. Yeah, that'll be nice in the summertime. But right now it's cold, isn't it, Hirsch? And he's kind of old and skinny. Well, he is. He is. I'm just telling the truth. Look, I said I'm going to say some things that aren't popular sometimes. Preach the Bible whether you like it or not. But yeah, I mean, you know, but that's work. That's work. What our worship teams do, you look at them up here and you think, oh, you know, they're just getting up there and singing. Ah, Robert, all you do is get up there and sing. What's the big deal? It's work. They're here at 8:45 on Sunday morning. They don't leave until 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And it's work. And they're working on things. Look, but ministry is a work, and it's worth it. But why do we do it? Why did Jesus say, what did Jesus say was the most important thing? He said, look, it's because I want you to reach the world. Why does Robert and all the other, you know, Cassie, all you guys, why do Stephen, why is Victoria coming in here? I mean, not honestly, not only is she pregnant, but she's also sick today. Why did she come? Because she gets that it's work. Ministry is work. And she gets that people are counting on her. And if she didn't come, Stephen wouldn't come. No, look, because she had a job. She has a responsibility. And she came and she did a responsibility even though she didn't feel like it. And I thank you for that. But because it's work. But this is what we're supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do is to equip the saints. I'm supposed to equip you to do the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. This is what he's getting at. It's in verse 13. Till we all come, what's the goal? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of whom? The Son of God. He said, I want you to teach them about me. You've got to teach them about me. You've got to teach them about me. This is Jesus' words. Teach other things, that's great, but make sure you teach them about me. First, you know what makes Christianity unique among all the world's religions? He made it about himself. Muhammad didn't make Islam about himself. Because he knew he was going to die and stay dead. Amen. Buddha didn't make it about himself because he knew he was going to die and stay dead. Amen. Confucius knew he was going to die and stay dead. But Jesus knew he was going to die and live again. Amen. So he made it about himself. And it is about him. That's why he said, and he wasn't bragging. It's not bragging if you can do it. I think that's what they used to say. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, so make it about me. And then he backed it up with everything that he did. And so he said, so you've got to teach them about me first and foremost until they're mature believers, until we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's stop measuring ourselves against one another. Hey, look, this is not part of the message, folks, but please get this. Look, don't measure yourself against Beverly. I've talked about Beverly today. Don't measure yourself against her. You're going to probably fail. But also don't measure yourself against somebody else that you look better than. If you really want to have a big fail, I mean, you talk about, look, I like to watch, I've told this before, I like to get on YouTube sometimes when I'm just trying to just let my brain go into neutral. And I get on YouTube and I watch people fall down. Because it's funny. It's funny. And it's funnier when kids fall down than when adults. I'm just telling you, try it. Don't knock it till you tried it. But my point is, I don't even know what my point was. I have no idea what my point was. I really don't. Oh, I know what it was. You know, but when we measure ourselves, you know, don't measure. No, actually, I don't know what my point was. Why was I even bringing that? Huh? I have no idea what that was all about. I had a great point, though. Can you all just use your imagination and imagine that I just made the most incredible point and it changed your life? And would you come down to the altar, please? Anyway. He said, I want it to be about that. I want it to be about you. Make sure that when you measure yourself, if you want, oh, that's what it was fails. Famous fails. If you really want to fail, measure yourself against Jesus. Hey, if you want to feel less about yourself, measure yourself against Jesus. At the times when we think, hey, I got this thing, I'm doing this right, I got this, I got it all together, I'm rocking this thing. Measure yourself against Jesus. When you think you're kind, measure yourself against him. When I think that I'm smart, measure myself against him. And so forth, and you get the idea. Till we all come to unity of faith and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now watch verse number 14. Because here's what's going to happen, and I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to share with you something very, very sad. But I'm going to make a point here as I close this message. Because Paul was saying, if you don't make it about Jesus, if you don't make the ministry about teaching people and equipping the believers to talk about Jesus first and foremost, not exclusively, but first and foremost and most of it, here's what's going to happen. That we be no more children, spiritually speaking, tossed to and fro, carried away with every wind of doctrine.